Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. I'm Mark Stein in for Tucker this evening. The Trump administration just unveiled its plan for a full-blown space force to be created by 2020. We'll have more on that just ahead, plus more on the alleged Islamic extremist compound in the New Mexico desert. But first, President Trump has highlighted his administration's efforts against the MS-13 gang. So, of course, the left now supports MS-13. Vox.com has published a video portraying the gang as a bunch of cute teenagers who ride bikes, listen to music, and work after-school jobs.
When you think of the street gang MS-13, what do you see? Maybe something like this. Or this. But what if I told you the typical MS-13 gang member in the U.S. actually looks like one of these young men on Facebook?
The MS-13 members that I've been following are working after-school jobs, they're living with their parents, they get around Long Island on bicycles.
There's no indication that we're seeing a bigger surge of MS-13 than we'd seen in the past.
So basically, MS-13, they're like high school valedictorians with machetes. Timothy Sini is the district attorney of Suffolk County on Long Island and the county's former police commissioner, and he joins us. Tim, these guys are all over your neck of the woods. Are they just like kids doing after-school jobs, riding around on bicycles?
So here are the facts. In 2016 and part of 2017, we saw 17 homicides that MS-13 committed. That's 17 homicides in just 16 months. Two of those homicides were Nisa Mickens and Kayla Cuevas, right. 15 and 16-year-old girls from Brentwood High School. Another homicide was a quadruple homicide, where four boys were chopped into little pieces in a park in Central Islip. This is an extremely dangerous gang. I would submit probably one of the most dangerous street gangs that we have in the United States. Thanks to law enforcement's efforts, since that time period, we haven't seen a single confirmed MS-13 homicide, and that's because of the great work of the men and women of law enforcement in Suffolk County.
Now, you guys have a tough stomach for homicides, but even if you're familiar with finding dead bodies, what MS-13 do to their victims, where they actually chop off limbs and you find these guys dismembered and in pieces? These are some of the most vicious organized crime in the country, is it not?
That's exactly right. When they commit a murder, they do it to send a message. They're incredibly brutal. One example, as I already noted, was the four boys in Central Islip. There are plenty other examples. When the two girls were murdered in Brentwood, when we first came upon the homicide scene, the injuries were so severe, we actually thought it was a hit and run because the head trauma was so significant. We need to take this gang extremely seriously, and that's exactly what law enforcement is doing across the country. And I applaud everyone's efforts. We're working together to target violent MS-13 gang members, and we're making a difference.
Do you think it helps when someone like Vox.com, which has a lot of influence on the left, basically say, oh, sure, there's like some people who kill people in it, but there's a lot of just nice, cute kids there going along with it as they might with any after-school activity?
No, it minimizes the threat that this street gang poses, and it minimizes the situation that these communities find themselves in. MS-13 targets young Hispanic boys in neighborhoods that are underserved. Right. It's incredibly important that we target these gang members with aggressive law enforcement tactics, and that we also invest in gang prevention and intervention strategies so that we prevent them from recruiting more members.
Good luck with that. They've done some terrible things out in your part of Long Island, Tim. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. America remains in the grips of an immigration crisis in other aspects, too, with one of the two major parties increasingly promoting policies indistinguishable from full-blown open borders. Any effort to enforce the country's border invites accusations of racism, even though Mexico is actually deporting more people who come from Honduras than the United States does. And earlier this week, we saw the Border Patrol capture a man attempting to smuggle three Brazilians into the country using a fake EMS vehicle. Enrique Acevedo is an anchor at Univision, and he joins us now. Enrique, this is interesting to me that Mexico is allowed to deport Hondurans without being accused of being racist, while the U.S. isn't. Why does one country get to enforce its borders, but another doesn't?
Well, you just have to look at news reports in Mexico and around Central America to know that Mexico's immigration policy is highly criticized. The way they violate human rights for these Central Americans is also highly criticized and has been pointed out by, I would say, hundreds of news reports and human rights reports, too. So I don't think they're being able to get away with anything. I would just say that despite what many people say on this network and at the White House in terms of Mexico not doing anything to help the U.S. with undocumented immigration, you just stated the fact that Mexico is deporting Hondurans and other Central Americans at a very fast pace. Actually, since Trump became president, over 200,000 Central American migrants have been deported from Mexico.
That's doing a lot. Mexico's not deporting 200,000 Hondurans to kiss up to President Trump. It's doing it in its own national interest. So why
this is the thing, Mark. Right. It's doing it as part of a program and an agreement between the U.S. and Mexico to have Mexico guard its south border with U.S. dollars. Some of that money comes from the U.S., so it is doing it in part to, you know, honor agreements with the U.S. and with the U.S. government.
No, that's not why they do. We all know the truth about, or most people should know the truth about Mexico, which is that it's ruled by a corrupt elite who are essentially European Mexicans, Mexicans of white European descent, who treat everybody else, whether they're Mexican or not, appallingly. And isn't the reality of illegal Mexican immigration that you have essentially a corrupt elite in Mexico driving the people it despises into America in much the same way as it would be if we said 20 years ago, let's let white South Africans drive all the blacks out of the country so they can have it to themselves and all the black South Africans can find somewhere else to live? Isn't that the reality of Mexican illegal immigration?
Well, no. We started this conversation by saying that Mexico is deporting more Hondurans to their country than the U.S. And now we're saying that Mexico is actually letting them through and sending them to the U.S. Mexico is not sending anyone to the U.S. Actually, more Mexicans are coming back to their country than those immigrating into the U.S. with or without documents. Mexico is part of a route that is used by Central American immigrants, and more it's trying to enforce its immigration policies, we hope in a humane way, which is not always the case, to try to, you know, have, in the cases of refugees, not only the right conditions, but also to let them and legally request asylum, let them go through and legally request asylum in the U.S.
No, but why is that in America's interest? That's the bedrock question, Enrique.
What is what in American interest?
Why is unskilled mass immigration from Mexico and Latin America in America's interest?
Well, as I was saying, immigration from Mexico is net zero now. It's at its lowest level. It's been in decades. So there's no mass immigration from Mexico into the U.S. There is a problem with Central American immigrants and refugees coming to the U.S. border. And I think, you know, we could have a larger debate on the benefits of immigration. I would ask you, what is so wrong about immigration? How is immigration hurting the U.S., or how is this different to other ways of immigration throughout our history?
Well, it's predicted that 30% of the world's jobs are going to be outmoded by automation and robots. So nobody needs, no developed nation needs mass immigration these days. Enrique, thanks. As you say, we'll have that broader conversation one day. Thank you, Enrique.
Sure. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says that voters should back Democrats in November because it will help illegal immigrants. So vote for your Democrat candidate and they'll let lots of people in the country to take your jobs.
We are not going to be able to get it done under the Republican leadership in Congress. We believe that we will have leverage when we win in November.
leverage in November. That's intended to appeal to Hispanic voters, but it may not be working. Polls have shown President Trump's approval with Hispanics to be above 30%. That's better than the vote share he got in 2016. Elvira Salazar is a Republican who's running for Congress in Florida, and she joins us today. Elvira, we often think that in your state, for example, Cuban Americans tend to vote Republican, but we're seeing signs that actually there's a broader appeal among the Hispanic population now.
Well, it is indeed, but I want to answer to what Nancy Pelosi was saying, and once again, the Democrats are trying to play political football with Hispanics. In 2008, in 2009, President Obama said to my colleague from Univision, Jorge Ramos, that we were going to have an immigration reform law the first year of his presidency. And in reality, he used his political capital to pass Obamacare. So right there, the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi had the wonderful and magnificent opportunity to stop this immigration reform problem that we have, or to pass an immigration reform law. And in reality, what the Democrats gave us were crumbs called the DACA executive order.
Yeah.
I think that we should really point out, and these are facts, this is not analysis, that in 1996, President Clinton signed something called the Immigration Reform Law, which gave the legal framework for President Trump to be separating families. So let me just start with those two facts. That's right. Why President Obama and Nancy Pelosi are traitors to Hispanics. Now, why are Hispanics now giving approval ratings? Because Hispanics share many of the core values that are dear to the Republicans. We are God-fearing, law-abiding. We like small government. We are self-reliant. We do not want government in our lives. We fear God, and we love this country.
Let me ask you a question on that, though, Elvira, because people can have different views on that. But what I find interesting about the Democrats' view of Hispanics and the media's, the media assume that lawful Hispanics in the United States only care about illegal immigration. That, in fact, they're just ethnic solidarity voters. That if you've been in this country for generations and you're Hispanic, your most important issue is letting in lots of other Hispanic illegals. Is that true, that that's the only issue you guys care about?
No. It is very important for us to find a solution to those people that have lived here for more than 15, 20 years, like the TPS recipients. Right. We don't want those people to be thrown out of here like cattle, because they have put roots in this country. That's why an immigration reform law is so important. It's important for us, but also the economy. Look what's happening with the economy right now. That is benefiting
Hispanic business. That's certainly true. We have to leave it there, Elvira, but thanks very much, and good luck in your race. Friction between the Mueller team and President Trump's legal team is heating up. Professor Alan Dershowitz will address the president's position next on Tucker Carlson Tonight.